Welcome to the Geriatric Journal Club, featuring practical discussions on the front line of PALTC issues that you wrestle with every day. References for this podcast and links to previous recordings can be found at paltc.org/journalclub. Support for this podcast is brought to you by U.S. Post-Acute Care.
All right, everybody, we're about to get started. Welcome to the Geriatric Journal Club for Colorado for November 2020. Today, we are going to cover, are we going to do the UC Health and Centura open note?
Yeah, actually, let's do the other one first because it's more of just a business item. And Eric is on. Okay.
Okay, good.
Now, Eric, you have the floor if you want to talk about. So the first thing we want to talk about is it's time for another round of updating the therapeutic interchange in our facilities. And then Eric has a couple comments about a new insulin we're going to be using and so forth. Just, and I don't know anything else he wants to say. So Eric, it's all yours.
Great. Thanks, Dr. Gum. So as Dr. Gum mentioned, I just want to know all the prescribers for Vivage. As he said, we will have an updated facility formulary coming out there. So expect your consult pharmacist to be asking you to get these signed and then fax back in. But two parts to the facility formulary. So the first part on there covers Med A patients and any Medicare paid patients that the facility would be picking up the cost. It'll automatically change. It'd switch over to the preferred drug on there. The second part is a third-party interchange formulary. By accepting these interchanges, basically you're allowing the pharmacy to interchange to the preferred drug that the patient's insurance will pay for. So it's kind of just a generic, it saves you some call time or filling out prior authorization time if it's an easy change like that. So again, once this is finalized through our corporate compliance, expect to see those coming out. The next item I did want to touch base on, a new basal insulin that's come out, Semglee is the name, S-E-M-G-L-E-E. It is a glargine molecule. The advantage to this is it's significantly cheaper than our previous basal insulin. So a 3 ml pen of this is about $33 compared to $100 for Levemir, $92 for Lantus, and $72 for the Basaglar. So it is significantly cheaper. We are trying to get this on the facility interchange, but until that's signed and working, you would have to specifically write for this because it's not a AB rated medication. The pharmacy can automatically substitute to this. So if you want this product, you have to write for it. That's all I had on this. Any questions regarding any of these two items from anyone?
The only thing I'll add to it, Eric, is when you get those forms, I think it's about a 56-page form. They're only interested in the first four pages. And on those first four pages, there's just a limited number of things you have to do, but you have to do all of them. You have to either go through and check every single box, or on page one, there's a single box at the top that says, I like all these changes, go ahead. You have to do one or the other. Either go through one at a time and check off the things you want or don't want, or check the box on page one. And then on page four, you need to print your name so they can read it, sign it, date it, and list the facility. And the other thing I'll tell you is that the pharmacy board requires that these be facility specific. So even if you're in three or four facilities, you have to do one for each facility. You can't just do one and say, yeah, all Vivage facilities. So you have to want one for each facility. And then you only need to fax or scan and email back those first four pages, not the whole thing. All right, any questions on that? Great. Then we'll move on. And today, our main topic is a little different in that I'm not gonna do a major presentation. I sent out ahead of time a number of documents that all have to do with a piece of the CARES Act that I'm not sure any of us knew about. If anybody on the call knew about this more than a couple weeks ago, jump right in and enlighten us. I found out almost by accident from Jay Moskowitz's daughter, who started sending this stuff to me because the hospitals were giving it to them. On November 2nd, I'll just go through part of this and then I'm gonna open this up for discussion. There's a new federal rule, part of the Cures Act, that requires the immediate release of many patient records, which will include provider and non-provider daily progress notes, inpatient and outpatient, plus all labs, radiology, and path reports. In essence, as soon as you see a patient and write a note and put it in the electronic record, it is immediately available to patients, families, anybody that has HIPAA access to that record. And there's all kinds of issues around this. I could see a whole bunch of downsides that we're gonna have to think about because we can't change it. But you know, troubling lab results, x-ray results, especially if they come in over a weekend, are gonna be seen by patients and families before the physician or the NPPA, anybody has seen them. And I think the dangerous thing here, and I'll throw this out and then I'm gonna open it up for discussion, is we need to be really careful about what you say in the record. From a liability standpoint, all kinds of places, any negative comments about nurses, insurance companies, other providers, anything like that, certainly now immediately accessible, is just going to be an open door to problems. So now, with that said, I'd like other input from people that took a look at this and other thoughts about it. But it's a huge change. It's also going to be a problem, by the way. The last thing I'll throw in is if you see a patient, patients expect that you wrote that note when you saw them. So if you see a patient and don't get around to writing a note for 3 or 4 days or a week, or if you're a surgeon, maybe a month, that could be a problem because patients certainly could be wondering why it is, how it is a week later, you can remember the details of the visit. So the floor is open.
Greg, in response to your last comment, Greg?
Yes.
If you see a patient and don't write a note in a very, very close proximity to the visit, you should at least write patient seen, the date and the time, and any immediate or serious changes which need to be known to anybody reviewing that record right away.
Right.
And then you can write note to follow and make sure you follow up with a note.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And that's actually in the regulatory guidelines already, that's part of the Chapter 5 rules. That if there's a change of condition or anything significant, you have to have that in the record before you leave the facility. Even if the rest of the note, you have 7 days to get the rest of the note in for the routine things.
Greg, Lee Annenberg here.
Yes, Lee, I was hoping you would jump in.
Yeah, I think this will be a concern to any malpractice carrier who may be faced with future issues of jousting, where one provider criticizes another, and you need to be very, very careful and make comments like, we'll attempt to call, and discuss care with previous providers, such and such name, and then actually try to do that. There are secure messaging apps, Doximity, et cetera, or telephones are still considered secure, but it's harder to do synchronous communication on a telephone where you have to get the other person on the line at the same second. So asynchronous, remember that regular emails are not secure, that you can encrypt them, but that's sometimes difficult if you're not used to doing that. And Virtru is a free encryption service that you can use. So avoid criticizing. Don't put words in there that will be critical of the healthcare facility that you're in. If you have serious concerns about care in the facility, identify that you will be discussing something, or say something about, we'll discuss care with director of nursing and or NHA or whatever, but don't say, well, the patient says that they've been abandoned for 3 days, you know. Say, we'll discuss with the facility staff about current care. Some bland, non-incriminating statement. So having said that, I'd be greatly interested in what the rest of you think of this. I think it's good for patient empowerment. I think it's going to be very difficult as we come to grips with it, in that there will be some potential for increased lawsuits based upon comments put in the record that the patient takes exception to. And I think a good example of that will be narcotic prescribing. So you have to be careful to just to stick to the facts, talk about their functional status, rather than, gee, it looks like they've been addicted for years. That's going to get you in trouble to say things like that. So I'll shut up now.
You don't have to shut up, Lee. Good comments. And by the way, I did reach out to Copic to see if Alan Lembitz wanted to present on this today, and they didn't think that they were going to be ready in time. I think this caught us all off guard.
Great. Can I throw out a possible silver lining on this?
You do it, Don.
Yeah, okay. So when you first shared it, I had the same concerns you and others have had. But the silver lining I see is that this should encourage all of us to clean up the chart vomit, the chart replication that just is so inaccurate, and hopefully encourage all of us just to get down to the essence, you know, to let go of a lot of the stuff that clinicians think they have to put in there that they really don't. And that, you know, I'm hoping that this leads us in the direction of concise histories, assessment plans, letting go of a lot of the other stuff that gets carried on over and over that is inaccurate. So we'll see.
Actually, Don, I love that. And it brings up another point. This is another reason everybody's going to have to be real careful of cut and paste.
Yeah.
We saw a patient recently that a couple months ago, I reviewed a patient who had a lead in, you know, chief concern. Patient developed pneumonia last week. Roommate didn't want them there anymore. And I looked back through, and the same chief complaint was there for 18 consecutive months.
Right.
And so, you know, if a patient sees that and they've been living in a nursing home, first thing they're going to do is call one of our legal friends and say they right. don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Greg.
This is the cost ready. It's been I actually have experience with this in Michigan when I was doing primary care out there. And if done appropriately, it does enhance people's compliance to the treatment plan. So I've noticed quite a bit of benefits with it over there.
That's great.
Greg, can I ask if this is retroactive, so that now that patients have access, well, can they have access to things on, I don't know, October 15th, when we didn't really understand that this was a new rule?
You know, by the way, I think patients are as far behind the eight ball as we are. I mean, we just found out almost by accident there's a patient portal, but somebody's gonna have to be bright enough to figure out how to get there and how to get into it and how to get access. I wouldn't know how to do that. My mother's in a nursing home. I wouldn't know how to do this today. So it's gonna take a little bit of time, but I think once they do, my understanding is that they have access to their record, which includes all previous notes.
Okay.
Yeah, something to think about.
Hey, Greg, it's Travis. I just wanted to say I got a piece of advice early on that just has stuck with me over the years, and that was write your notes as if any part of your note could be blown up on a projector and put in a courtroom for everyone to see. And I just always think about that when I'm writing my notes. So I think that's something that now more than ever we should think about.
Yeah, I think I'm the one that told you that. I've been using that line for years.
Probably.
Yeah. Expect it to be seen right above the, in front of the jury box.
Another thing that I often tell providers, and I do myself, is that when you're doing the history and physical, it's nice to put a specific note about something of that visit. I walked with the patient to therapy. I visited with the patient in their room and they were very joyous, or some detail so that you can tell it's an individual note on that day.
Great thought. And by the way, when I said criticisms, the other thing comes to mind as I'm looking at people like Eric and Perry and others on the call, don't be criticizing the pharmacist if they make recommendations. And as a medical director, I'll say, don't be criticized. I hate when orders are written, we're doing a dose reduction because Dr. Gom or the medical director requires it. That the editorializing in an order doesn't belong there.
Managing your patient's needs across multiple specialties is increasingly important, but also an increasingly challenging task. U.S. Post-Acute Care now offers clinical staffing solutions not only for primary care medicine, but also for behavioral health, chronic care management, and telehealth, bringing you a more comprehensive solution for your patients and your facilities. Now more than ever, your patients need you in so many ways. Let U.S. Post-Acute Care help you deliver more complete, quality care. For more information, visit us at uspostacutecare.com.
Other thoughts?
I've heard from some providers that in some healthcare systems, because of this transparency, they're asking the providers to use layperson language as much as possible, and even just trying to avoid medical jargon in the notes. I'm a little worried about that, because if we can't use medical jargon in our notes and our medical record, where can we use it? And I thought the purpose was to be concise and to be medically accurate. And if we have to learn how to write our medical notes in layperson terms, we'll have to relearn how to write our language entirely.
Yeah, it may lead to more questions, but I don't think you should change your language or the way you're writing. It's like trying to read an ophthalmologist note. I can't read their language. But if I have questions, you go to the ophthalmologist and ask. You don't.
Dr. Yeah, Gav?
And Perry.
Yeah, based on what you said about the pharmacist, many, many years ago, probably 20 years ago, a physician in Colorado Springs commented to me on my Dear Doctor letters when I used to use the word recommend. He said, I feel that when you say recommend, I have to do it. He says, why don't you think about using the word consider? Well, I took his advice. I thought, that's reasonable. And I started, and since that time have used in my Dear Doctor letters, please consider the following. Okay. And I get more results. I've gotten more results with using that terminology as opposed to back when I used to say recommend. So,
well, I recommend that you guys take Perry's thoughts to heart here. Don't consider it. I recommend it. Other thoughts?
Lee Annenberg again.
Go ahead, Lee.
It might be worth putting two or three sentences in your dictation. You're still using your medical jargon to describe the findings and the diagnoses, and then say, these were discussed with the patient in layman's terms, and patient expressed understanding. So, I mean, you don't have to translate it all into layman's terms, but some sort of a comment. Now, if it's an obviously demented person, that would be kind of a silly thing to write. So a substitute sentence for a demented person might be, significant findings will be discussed with family or guardian, something of that nature, sort of a bland statement that shows that you're trying to communicate to the appropriate people in the appropriate level of discussion.
Yeah, actually that brings up one other thing. Make sure you don't put anything in there that you're not really gonna do. If you say, I'm gonna reach out to the family and talk to them about this, and then you never do, and they get access to it, well, he never called, she never called, yeah.
Yeah, it's good if you do and good if you don't. Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I often do is if the patient is cognitively intact and we're having a big change in their medications or something, I often say discuss with patient and patient agrees with the plan. And I think that that also can be helpful. And if it's a something that we want to follow up on, I'll often say discuss with nursing and nursing is aware.
Yeah. Other thoughts?
I think it's good during our medical director QA meetings to mention to our colleague nurses that they should take a similar approach and, be careful in terms of criticism and whatnot, introducing controversy into the nursing notes because those are available as well as the medical notes. And it's, I think, very relevant to maybe spend some time reading the nurse's notes to make sure that what you anticipate is indeed happening.
I'd like to add to that how you treat the nurses, either in person or on the phone, they will get back, they will get even. If they feel they're being demeaned, disrespected, then they have ways of getting back. And that usually is, well, patient Dr. Annenberg still hasn't returned the call. I've called three times, some sort of a demeaning statement that, so everyone needs to be treated with respect. And I'll leave it at that.
No, I think that's a great comment. And I also think, I know that we are, we started last week and we will extend it next week through our Vivage. We're going to go to all the nursing staff and therapists and everybody across the board and provide the same education that we're getting today because they don't know about this yet either. But their comments, you're right. If they start blaming people or again, Dr. Gom didn't call in the OxyContin again, and now the patient's in pain. We're going to get those kinds of things out of those notes. I love the fact that this may take us back to using our phones to actually talk to people more often. I'm a big fan.
Hey, Dr. Gom, this is Eric. I just wanted to make one more comment in regards to pharmacy recommendations for the Vivage providers.
Yeah.
Looking at last September, so September of 19, our response rate with Omnicare was 44%. And as of last month, the response rate is up to 74% to our comment. So I just want to thank everyone for addressing those timely. And this, we've tracked this within 30 days of the comment being issued. So I appreciate the focus on that from everyone.
Well, yeah, and that's wonderful, not only that it increased, but again, because it is a regulatory issue for your facilities. that any those are now part of the record. So pharmacy recommendations go into the electronic record. The requirement is a response within 30 days, but it is also going to hurt providers if there's no response given. It'll now be that's part of the record they can see as well. Okay, two more and minutes. Go ahead.
Greg, Dwayne Shire, just again to reiterate, I think that this makes attendance at PsychPharm and other collaborative meetings all the more important if it wasn't important before.
Great point. Anything you can take care of in person is a really good thing. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Mugabe Walker. Mm-hmm. How is this monitored by the regulatory agencies? Is this something that can be potentially a tag that a family wanted nursing notes and you're not aware of that? It's not given in a timely manner. Can we know if this is a tag or not?
Well, the kinds of things that are open for a tag would be anything covered under CMS regs or here in Colorado under the Chapter 5 regs. And that would be, you know, and I've seen this tag handed out where surveyors will watch a provider go into a room, see a patient, walk out, and then they specifically will look for a note from that provider later and not see it. They will tag that. In the 7 days, they look at, the date. I saw a patient on the first, and then they go to look on the eighth. There's still no note. That's a tag. So that's already there. I have no idea how this is going to be used. I have a feeling we'll hear more about this through legal channels, through lawsuits, and we will through regulatory agencies, unfortunately.
Hey, Greg, it's Chris Horton. So does this mean that families can just call up the facility and say, hey, print out all of the notes? They don't have to go through medical records for...
Well, they'll have electronic access. So they through the portal, they'll get the same access you or I get.
Through their point of care?
Yeah.
Okay.
So again, I haven't seen this in action. But I know at the hospitals, which is where I'm getting the information now, there's a thing called My Health Connection, where you can, that's at University Health. They can log into My Health Connection and get immediate access to their entire record, almost their entire record. There are a couple things left out, but not many. And I don't know that we have that set up for nursing homes or PCC, but I think we're going to lean on ACA, AHCA, and CHCA to try to lead the way there and tell us what we should be doing. It may be a new module for PCC or something. I don't know. It's only been 2 years that we didn't even let surveyors have access to PCC. So, all right. Thank you for... being on the call today. And I would just say, take this to heart. I don't think that we'll see anything soon, but once people start getting access, remember they could have access going backwards. So be careful out there. And thank you for being on the call.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by U.S. Post-Acute Care.